Stephen Edwards, born on January 12, 1927, in a farmhouse in Franksville, Wisconsin, Racine County. I lived on a farm all of my young life, with two older brothers, a younger sister who arrived when I was 10 years old, my parents, and various relatives and strays who were in need of a home. It was Depression years, and in spite of having very little money, we always had enough food for the family to eat and enough to feed a few visitors. I attended a one-room schoolhouse, a mile and a half from home, one teacher and eight grades of pupils. Total attendance, usually about 12 to 15 in all eight grades. It was a very different kind of schooling, one totally dependent on the quality of the teacher. We were fortunate during my years there in having a caring, innovative, and dedicated teacher who lived for the school and the students, and most of us went on to do well in high school in Racine. Some years later, when my sister attended the same one-room school, a new young teacher had been hired, and it became apparent that things were very different. Those students had a great struggle in high school. College was really not thought of by most of the farm folks. In fact, many of the boys quit school after ninth grade to help their fathers on the farm. And if possible, they attended vocational school during the winter months to learn a trade. In high school, I took a business course, bookkeeping, shorthand, typing, plus the required courses, math, English, a language, and social studies. There was no idea of attending college. My older brother quit school after ninth grade to help on the farm, and the second brother finished high school but planned to farm with my father after he graduated. I had one city cousin who attended the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and she was a great salesperson. During my senior year in high school, I worked half-time at Horlick's Malted Milk Corporation doing clerical duties. I also was slightly injured in an auto accident for which the insurance payout was $400, which went into the bank. After graduation, I continued working at Horlick's full-time with a promotion and a raise. I think, with the raise, I earned 42 cents an hour. During the year after high school graduation, I enrolled in a night class offered by UW Extension in Racine, and I successfully completed freshman English. The woman who came down from Madison each week to teach our class was probably the most responsible for my eventually enrolling at UW. She was enthusiastic about education and made learning fun. She invited the class to Madison to stay at her home and visit the campus. Unfortunately, I cannot remember her name. It never occurred to me to investigate any other colleges, and certainly I never did campus visits as the young people do now. If I wanted to go, it was up to me, and I suppose that I didn't even know it was possible to get financial aid. My parents neither encouraged nor discouraged me. I knew they could not help me financially, and I didn't expect it. It was only years later when I found some clippings that my father had in his drawer, listing the several times I was mentioned in honor societies, that I even realized they were aware that I did well and that they were proud of me. Now that I'm a parent myself, I understand a little more about what they were thinking. One of the other students from the Extension English class and I decided to enroll for 1 year, at which time we figured our money would be exhausted, but we'd hope well spent and give us a year of fun as well. I had the $400 from the auto accident insurance, plus the money I saved while working. And tuition at that time was $48 a semester for in-state students. My recollection is that room and board was something like $360 a year. So I was optimistic about getting through 1 year, after which I could always go back to being a secretary. My Racine cousin lived in Chadburn Hall, and I tried to make living arrangements there, but it was full. And so we ended up in Hodag House, part of the Badger Club, on Irving Place, just off Park, where I believe the Elvium Center now stands. Hodag House was a wood frame, three-story building, the big living room and a music room downstairs, plus a suite for four people. Second and third floors had five double rooms each, plus one bathroom. The house fellow had the largest room on second floor. She was an older woman, or so we thought. She had white hair. She had a great sense of humor and color. She frequently used vegetable dye on her hair to match whatever dress she was wearing, be it green, blue, purple, pink, whatever. The Badger Club consisted of four nearly adjacent houses. Next to Hodag House was White House, or White Hall, I'm not quite sure, and all of the Badger Club residents took their meals there. The other two houses were on an adjacent street, and I never felt attached to them, in spite of all meals together. I think White House was headquarters for the Bachelor Club. Our rare meetings were also held there. Otherwise, the Hodaggers were a pretty tight unit. We exchanged clothes, gave each other permanents, became close friends. I still have pictures of some of us at various parties that were held there. We were very heavy on decorations for parties. One I remember in particular was called Forever Amber In and Stagger Out. Of course, there was no alcohol allowed in girls' dorms, but that didn't stop us from decorating the living room like a saloon, complete with a swinging door and sultry singers. I suppose our greatest vice was sneaking down the fire escape after hours, which was 10 o'clock on weeknights, 12:30 on weekends, and going to the Italian restaurant on University Avenue just across the way for beer and ham sandwiches. I'm quite sure the house fellow was aware of our escapades, but she never admitted it or challenged us. I suppose she knew it was more fun if it was forbidden. We did have one bit of excitement regarding the fire escape. The typical way to use it was from the third floor bathroom window. One night, quite late, we heard someone on the fire escape, and we thought some of the girls had gone out and forgotten to alert us to keep the window unlocked. For some reason, we looked out from another window before unlocking the bathroom window, and there, to our delight, was not one of us, but a man trying to get in. It was exciting, we all admitted, but we were a bit more cautious about locking accessible windows after that. It did not stop our use of the fire escape, however. Our other big evil doing was smoking, drinking beer, and playing cards behind the closed door of someone's room, preferably one with a window to the porch so that we could put the beer out of sight if necessary, and keep the window open so that the smoke smell wasn't too obvious. I don't think we were allowed to smoke in our rooms. We mainly played the only in Wisconsin game of Shoskup, or Sheep's Head. There were a few more sophisticated types who held out for occasional bridge games, but somehow that didn't seem to go as well behind locked doors and drinking illicit beer. Of course, men were not allowed above first floor, except on the rare occasion when they were bringing suitcases or luggage up, and then someone had to stand on first floor and in a loud, loud voice say, "Man on floor!" Most of the girls in the house came from low-income families, and most had part-time jobs. On the day that I enrolled in classes, I told my advisor, who by sheer chance was a chemistry professor, that I had to pack my classes close together so that I could work part-time. When he found out that I could do secretarial work, he sent me to see Professor John W. Williams, a physical chemist, who was currently looking for some part-time help. That was the start of my idea to major in chemistry. I had a job before I was finished enrolling for classes. I had not had chemistry or physics or calculus in high school. Professor Williams and his research group were very, very good to me, and I guess I decided that if chemists were such great people, I would like to be one too. I continued working between 15 and 20 hours each week for Professor Williams, all through my 4 years at Madison. And in looking back, I think as much of my love for UW came from my working experience as from my more traditional college life. And certainly Dr. Williams was my strong supporter and always managed to find enough work so that I could earn enough money to stay in school for one more year. I really didn't ever expect to graduate, just go to school until I ran out of money. In my senior year, I borrowed $100 from my parents. And all during the 4 years, my dad would occasionally slip a $5 bill in a letter. Otherwise, my job kept me going. I did one course in summer school because Dr. Williams wanted me to work through the summer. He was working on a book and I was typing it. And I lived in the men's dorms on the lake, or what were men's dorms during the year. It was quite a different experience. Many of the girls were out-of-staters coming to UW summer session because it had a reputation of being fun, and it was. Lots of partying, lots of picnics at Picnic Point, lots of ball games, lots of beer drinking. Many of the girls at Hodag House worked at various jobs. One drove a taxi, one managed a small business office, several others worked in assorted university offices, some did childcare, babysitting. We were all poor financially, and almost without exception, we all took our studies seriously. One of the high points of midweek was to take a study break and go to Rennie's, Rennebaum Drugstore, for coffee. But not too often. Even coffee was sometimes outside of the budget. Also, it was considered a real coup to get a date for Sunday supper. That was the one meal that was not served in the dorm. And if we could get somebody else to pay for it, that was great. One of the favorite places was the Hasty Tasty on University Avenue. And I think we most often ate waffles. Our dates didn't have much money either. The war had recently ended. The veterans were returning to campus. They all took scholarship very seriously. Some of them were married. Some had small children. Many had wives who worked. And the serious scholarship created a great air of optimism. The future looked great. During my freshman year, I took my very first chemistry course. I didn't realize initially that the class was supposed to be restricted to people who had had high school chemistry. And when called on in recitation section to answer some simple question, I could not. The section teacher, Ernie Hesse, not the usual graduate student TA, but an older man who had taught at that level for many years, came down hard on me and kept asking me questions, which of course I couldn't answer. It was almost enough to make me want to quit. But within a few days, he found out that I had not had high school chemistry. And from then on, I was his prize pupil, and he did everything he could to help me. The very large lecture was handled by one of the senior professors, who I think was well past his prime. We did most of our learning that year in recitation section and lab. By the end of my freshman year, I decided that I liked chemistry and chemists. I had a job I could come back to the next year, and I became a chemistry major. This brings up one of the areas where things could have been improved. I had very little guidance. I made my own choices, usually in ignorance of other choices. And although my favorite courses were always my math courses, I wasn't sure of any jobs at the end of the road in math except for teaching, which I knew I did not want to do. As a chemist, I thought I could get a job outside of teaching. Now I realize that math majors also have a whole world outside of teaching, but I didn't know it then. Leisure time was restricted to the weekends, and for part of the year it meant going to football games, basketball games, or in good weather, going to Picnic Point with some beer and food. Also, there were dorm parties, movies, various things going on at the Union. Drinking 3.2 beer stood very high on the list of things to do. A friend and I frequently hitchhiked to the stables when we could save up enough money to go riding, and we spent an hour on horseback. That ended one day when our hitchhiking put us in a car with three rather scary characters. No harm came to us, but we realized it was a bit dangerous. Hitchhiking was fairly common as a way home on occasional weekend visits, and I never knew anyone who had real trouble. On Sunday, I usually went to church, generally to Press House, the Presbyterian church just below campus. A lot of students went there, partly because of the good music and partly because it was close by. It was something of a wake-up for me. I had grown up in a very conservative Lutheran church, the Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, and it seemed very daring to go somewhere else. For the first time, I had a chance to think about religion rather than just accepting it. It certainly was part of my education. During my years at UW, the football team was not at its peak, but we faithfully went to the games. If nothing else, we at least always had a great halftime band spectacle. I still remember the feeling when the announcer said, "And now, Don Marcoulier and the University of Wisconsin Marching Band," gave me goosebumps, and they marched out on the field. In recent years, I had reason to continue my feeling of pride in the band. I live in Providence, Rhode Island, and the Wisconsin hockey team came to play in a tournament. I don't think the hockey team broke any records, but the band made friends to such an extent that there were articles in the Providence Journal about them, all flattering and extolling their friendliness. With the band so up after the hockey team lost, people wondered what would have happened had they won. Made me happy to say I was from Wisconsin. There was certainly some drinking going on at football games, and a few people got out of hand. But by and large, I remembered good-natured spectators at the games. Of course we wanted a winning team, but it didn't seem to dim the enthusiasm when we didn't have one. There were only a few instances of discrimination that I was aware of. Admittedly, I didn't pay much attention to social issues. I thought I was too busy to get involved. But one of my dorm friends was dating a Jewish boy, and they were not allowed in at some club. Also, a Jewish girlfriend was seriously dating a non-Jewish boy who had great aspirations in politics. We thought they were a perfect match. But before graduation, he dropped her. She wouldn't be good for his image. I was pretty shocked in my innocence. I'm sure there was discrimination. I just didn't notice it for the most part. The chemistry majors became well acquainted largely because of laboratory time spent together when talking was easy. There were several of the veterans in a number of my classes, and they were great, helpful, pleasant, gregarious, full of stories. I especially remember with great fondness Bob Bach, who was frequently known as Herman among his close friends because of his time spent at the Nuremberg trials. He later got his PhD at UW in chemistry and went on to become dean of the graduate school eventually. We didn't keep in close touch with Bob, but when our daughter interviewed at the graduate school many years later, Bob took us around campus personally to show us the progress that had gone on after we left. We were saddened later to learn about his untimely death. He will always rank as one of the nicest, most able people I met during my UW sojourn. In my senior year, I met a chemistry graduate student, also a veteran, who I eventually married. He went on to become a chemistry professor, and so my link with chemists and chemistry has continued. I think that my close association with Professor Williams and his research group for four important years helped me to become involved with my husband's students, especially the graduate students, over the years. It's been one of the joys of being at a university, watching the young people mature, keeping in touch with them, being godparents for some of their children. Now that I've had 40-some years at a smaller university, Brown, in an off-campus position, I realize some of the advantages of a smaller institution. Most important, I suppose, is the increased one-on-one exposure to senior faculty, along with the important guidance that can come out of such exposure. Perhaps the guidance was available at Wisconsin in the 40s, and I was too naive to look for it. Or maybe I was too involved with making my own decisions, getting good grades, keeping my part-time job, and looking for a big money job at the end of the road to take anyone else's advice. However, I preferred that our own children look closely at smaller schools and save the larger institutions for possible graduate work. I think that coming out of a depression and a war gave the mid-40s a slightly different slant than most other periods. We missed some of the fun and games that are typical of college days. None of us ever thought of going to Fort Lauderdale for spring vacation. But on the whole, I think we did okay. And I think UW was a fine place to be during those days. I hold very warm memories.